Billy rappelled down beside us and got out of his harness with a great deal more grace than I'd shown. He'd lost a good 20 pounds in the last couple months. Dropping the baby weight, he called it. His wife had just had their 5th child. And moved more lightly for it, even though he was still taller than both Morrison and myself.
"We've got to find a way to catch up with this guy faster," he said.
"Like before he kills anybody else," Morrison said.
So flatly, Billy and I both looked at him a moment. I'd heard Morrison's angry voice plenty of times, usually directed at me. But this wasn't outrage. It was helplessness. And that wasn't something Morrison indulged in often. Billy recovered first, tugging his rappelling rope to let the guys at the top know he was out. The rope and harness rose into darkness as he spoke.
"You know the chances are we're already too late for that, Captain. We've got at least 2 more missing persons reported, and we'll be damned lucky if they're still alive. But what I'm talking about is where Walker and I can help. This guy cleans up after himself. We haven't found any DNA to work with, so forensics is at a loss, and unless we get to a body faster, Walker and I aren't much good either. Even my resources outside the department..."
Morrison lifted his hand. "I don't want to hear about it."
Billy hesitated, glancing at me, then nodded once.
"Yeah. Okay. Look, I'm sorry, Captain. Right now we're at a dead end."
I breathed, no pun intended, and Billy gave me a dirty look. I mouthed, "Sorry." Then flinched as my hip pocket began to ring. Billy glanced at his watch and arched his eyebrows, and I shrugged, taking a few steps away from my companions to wrestle my phone out. The number was unfamiliar.
"Yeah, this is Joanne Walker."
"Hey, doll. Where are you?"
I pulled the phone away to give it a sideways look, though a smile threatened the corner of my mouth. There was one man on this earth who could get away with calling me doll.
"It's pushing 5 in the morning, Gary. What do you mean, where am I? Where do you think I am?"
"Well, you ain't home, 'cause I called that number twice. And you weren't sleeping, 'cause you never answer that fast when you have been, and you never sound this awake. You on a hot date, Joe?"
The threatening smile broke, and I laughed. "You should be the detective, not me."
"No, I wish. I'm at a crime scene. Morrison called me a couple hours ago."
"What's up?"
"Where are you calling from? I don't know the number." "I'm at dispatch."
For anybody else I knew, that meant the precinct building. But Gary worked part-time as a cabbie. I'd climbed into his taxi almost a year ago, and my life had quite literally never been the same since. Still smiling, I listened to him rattling on, waiting for him to reach the eventual point.
"I was gonna cover for Mickey's shift 'cause his grandkids are coming in today from Tulsa, but one of the other cars just called in, Joe. He found a dead lady at Ravenna Park."